Hello, friends. We've been going on such a journey. And sometimes I want to encourage you, go and watch some of these sessions again or get the audio and listen to them. Not because of me, but sometimes, you know, God wants to deal with some root issues in our lives. And we've been looking at how big is our God, you know, what's God's heart for us. Remember that God isn't issue conscious. His love, his motivation is love towards you and I. Then we started looking at the father wound, knowing our true identity, elements of sonship. And now we're beginning to look at what does God want to restore and where does he want to restore us to? What's our inheritance? It's so amazing that you and I have an identity in Christ. We have righteousness in Christ and we have an authority in Christ. And we need to learn to take that authority. And especially the most amazing thing is God wants to restore in you and through you and to the next generations what has been lost to the previous generations. So in session 12, we're going to start looking at covenant relationships. And in session 13, we're going to look at the different roles of a father, a mother. And then we're also going to look at the mother wound, just as an extra session that we'll be giving, because that's an area we have not covered. Now, there's so many things one can cover with these topics. But let's start today with looking at covenant family. You know, dad is supposed to bring the strength and mom the beauty. And as dad and mom reflect the image of God together, healthy children will grow up to know the image of God. But when there's one of these two parts missing, or when there's abusive or a manipulative side, or there's an absent one, then we struggle with the image of God. You know, then maybe your thinking of God is like this old man with a stick up there that just wants to hit you over the head when you do sin, and he's just sin conscious. See, the way we've grown up, and not just with our parents, but then also with our peers, our friends, especially in your teenager phases and, you know, the sibling rivalry, all that stuff. Everything will determine and will work in on your identity. Also, the culture in which you grew up. And so it's so important that we go and look at what men and women are supposed to focus on. Men focus on character and the identity and the performance or the significance of the person, while women focus on intimacy and relationship. They're mostly the one that brings the family together. And so there needs to be a protection of glory and of legacy, and also to establish a child's identity and destiny. You know, and so therefore in this environment of security and protection of the home, children can grow up to live in a boldness and a freedom in the world out there. But when the home and the family has been broken down, you know, remember what God said to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, God has put his life into the family. And when that's broken down through division, through divorce, there's a skewed image and people go out there being broken. But the good news is, hey, there's restoration. That's why Jesus died. And so with Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In God's image, you must know you and I have been made in the image of God. God made no mistakes, no failures, no mishaps, no by chances, no illegitimacy. There's nothing like that in God's vocabulary. You know, even if your parents did not plan you, God planned. God is such a good God. And so in Joshua 24 verse 14, as we embark on this road, especially to restore the future generations, Joshua, at the end of his life, said this. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. And in Egypt, serve the Lord. You know, he said, choose life or death. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Where he said, took the whole of the nation of Israel in front of him and said, look here, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you need to choose, and you need to serve him with sincerity, a pure heart, but also in truth. Not just a pure heart, but truth with that. That's how we embark on this journey to reestablish and restore what Jesus died for. And this is such a beautiful picture. But you know, when we look at the sins of the father, You know, because we see so many times the picture in the Old Testament how the people would harden their hearts and then they'll start to worship idols and mingle with other gods. And eventually a curse would come on the land and they'll be in exile. And then they'll begin to cry out to God, repent and turn back to God. And then God will hear them, raise up the prophets, and God will heal the land and restore them. So there are different sins that the forefathers commit this. You know, the Bible clearly talks about sin, which is to miss the mark, to miss the will of God for your life. Transgression, it's to break the law, to have a willful rebellion against God and against the given standard that God has for our lives. But then there's also iniquity. Now, this word iniquity is a twistedness or a crookedness concerning your character. There's an intentional twisting that has happened. It's almost like a tree that was supposed to grow up straight, you know, because of the wind or because of something that happened, somebody came to twist it around and that whole tree started to grow skew. And so, yes, Jesus died to forgive our sins, but also we need to deal with transgression and iniquities. Listen to this in Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 6. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, meaning Jesus wasn't as good looking as all the pictures show. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So transgressions, iniquities, sins, God made provision for those things to be broken. So maybe you're thinking today, what's that cycle? What's that stuff in my family that needs to be broken? Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a deep root of rejection. And so how God instituted it is that there will be the power of blessing, you know. And so we all know that our words have the potential to kill, to destroy, to do great harm. And the Bible, listen to this in these scriptures, describes the potential impact of our words. Death and life in Proverbs 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 12 verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, James later says in the New Testament that the mouth is the rudder of the ship. So God has instituted this amazing thing, the power to bless, the power to release words of honor, celebration, encouragement, life. But, you know, we need to know that what is ever is true in the positive also will happen in the negative. And so in Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26, listen to this beautiful priestly blessing that the priest would speak over the Israelites, over the Jews. He says, "The Lord bless thee and keep you," means to guard you, protect you, compass you about with a hedge of safety thee. "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance." He gives full attention in a favorable way upon thee. "And give thee peace, wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, and an absence of negative stress, disturbance, tension, and conflict." Wow, you know, this is what it means when the priest would pronounce blessing over the nation. Remember, we said that Jesus said, "I've come to give you peace." And these words are all inclusive in that peace, to give you full attention in a favorable way, to bring wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, and an absence of negative stress. That's God's peace. And so when we bless each other, when we speak that the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. It is amazing, but beautiful, beautiful scriptures, you know. And we must commit ourselves to bless, because we can now also decide to bless the future generations. We can say, hey, I want to release God's blessing. I want to release his fullness. And I need to learn to even bless my enemies, scripture says. Now, the meaning of blessing is this. Listen to what it says. There is no hint of material prosperity or perfect circumstances in any New Testament reference to blessing. On the contrary, blessing is typically connected with either poverty and trial or the spiritual benefits of being joined by faith to Jesus. According to the Key Word Study Bible, the Greek word translated blessed in these passages is makaria, which means to be fully satisfied. It refers to those receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances. In the next slide, it says, Scripture shows that blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in Him, anything that draws us closer to Jesus, anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and hold on more tightly to the eternal. And often it is the struggles and trials, the aching disappointments and the unfulfilled longings that best enable us to do that. Wow. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of prosperity teaching that just says, no, God wants to bless you and he wants to give you a new Mercedes, you know, but true biblical blessing doesn't mean that it's a natural manifestation concerning finances. No, true blessing is much more. It's to be fulfilled in God, to be connected in God. And so we can bless our families. We can bless our future generations. You know, one of the things that I've shared is that my great-grandfather served the Lord fully. Yeah, and he would go from farm to farm and preach the gospel. What a blessing he left. You know, my grandfather and father, you know, they opposed the apartheid government, and they were not really your favorites in the area. You know, those days there were still the NP and the DP and different political parties. And so when you know, they opposed the government, it was tough times. But you know, their standing up for righteousness and justice has given me a platform to run with the gospel, to be colorblind. Yeah. And so we need to know that whatever you are going to do in your life, it will create a space for the future generations, not just in your own loins, but also for people that would be connected with your people later. And that's why Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Yeah. Listen to this, how God blessed Abraham. In Genesis 12, 2 verse 3, it says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. You know, just as we're talking about blessing, just listen. I don't know if you can hear it, but the rain is falling. It's like a blessing where the heavens are opening up, and God's fullness can be manifest, and to be full of God, to be fulfilled in God. You know, that's God's blessing. It's like the heavens opening up, and God says, Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow, just like this rain that's falling, it is so amazing when we enter into that position where we realize, not just for me, it's not an entitlement thing. It's not for me to be happy and then move on with my life and get a lot of things in this life. I can set the record straight. I can release God's blessing over generations to come. And so a beautiful picture that was given, and whether that the Jews are still practicing today, is a ritual that they did with the young kids. You know, when a boy or a girl was 12 or 13, there was a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. You know, some Christians still do this with their children. And it's sort of a change from boyhood and girlhood into adulthood, where you start to take responsibility. And there was a whole ceremony. Now, through the years, there were different type of things that would happen. But the beautiful pictures of the whole community that would come together and bless that son, bless that daughter. And that's what's so amazing. That's why it's so rich in the Jewish community. Because, hey, from that moment on, even those children would sit in sometimes in the big corporate decisions with father and learn to listen and learn to take responsibility. Why? Because, hey, come out from under boyhood or girlhood into maturity. And so some of the rituals that would sometimes happen with a bar mitzvah is that the ladies would all stand on the one side, the men would stand on the other side, and then the men would call that boy over and say, come from underneath the ladies and come and be a man. And then what would happen is that father would sometimes take the child, put him on his shoulders and walk around and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then celebration and honor and affirmation would come onto that child, and the whole community would stand together and affirm that child. You know, isn't those the same words that God the Father spoke to Jesus? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And the second time when God the Father spoke audibly, this is my son, listen to him. He affirmed his identity and his destiny, his calling. You know, it's beautiful pictures of the Father that was affirming Jesus before Jesus did anything, eh? Jesus did not perform miracles. Jesus was not on ministry. He really was just a carpenter. So our identity, our destiny, our authority lies in Christ. And we can release that blessing on future generations. You know, there's a fatherless generation, and there's a massive challenge because we need to break the curse. Listen to this, what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, we need to break the curse over our family lines. Now, there are many Christians that say today, no, there's not really curses. But even David wrote, he says, in iniquity I was born. Yeah? And if you look at David's generation, you look at what his son did, there was a perverse spirit that was passed on. And there was things that he was struggling with that came through the family lines. And we need to listen. We need to break these things. Listen to what Job said in Job 19, verse 2. How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? You know? And so especially the power of words, what we speak over ourselves, what we speak over other people. In Matthew 12, 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, in James 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, with our words we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who had been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So, there's a blessing that we can release, or we can decide, I am going to become a blessing and I'm going to remove the curse. So it starts in our mouth, but Paul also says it starts in our thoughts life, because if you don't take that thought captive, it becomes an argument and eventually a stronghold. And strongholds are formed over our lives, over generations. Sure, you know, my family struggled with just root issues of rejection. And so I could see in the generations just how far, especially between father and son, there was rejection that was passed on. And there was a lot of striving, a lot of performance, trying to earn acceptance, affirmation, all those things we did in the first session. You know, I try to earn that. You know, I played sport, I played tennis, provincial, and I did so many things. I studied so hard. I wanted to earn my identity. I wanted to get that acceptance. Now, I remember standing there every Monday, getting all the trophies at school and all that stuff, but it meant absolutely nothing because I wasn't looking for those things. I wasn't looking for the applause of the crowds. I was looking for a father that would say, hey, I love you and I'm proud of you before you do any of these things. You know, so sometimes it's deeply rooted in our culture, you know, especially through sexual stuff that comes in. You know, some people, a lot of people, the stats are really bad, you know, have been abused sexually and verbally, have been molested when they were small. And so you're going to react to that deep hurt of and feel unworthiness, shame, or become manipulative, controlling, you know. And a Jezebel spirit can come into the family lines, into the ladies' hearts. And it's not just for ladies, sometimes for men as well. Where we start to control, because when we control others, hey, then we are in control. Then they can't control us anymore. And so I can tell you countless stories of people that have been trapped through generational stuff. And especially when the roles of the father and the mother have been removed or reversed or somehow absent in the home, we sort of grow up a little bit skewed. And so we need to break that curse. And so how it happens is it starts with renewing our mind. So Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do? We need to renounce. You know, the keys to break all these things, and we've looked at some of them, is forgiveness and repentance. Sometimes on behalf of a nation, we need to turn our hearts back to God and repent on behalf of our forefathers, repent on behalf of our culture, repent for racism or rejection or things that we have done. And so repentance is a great key to break the yokes or the hold of the devil on our lives. But then we also need to go one step further. We need to renounce. What do we renounce? We renounce things like our fathers and mothers that have been involved in secret societies. We renounce evil pacts. We renounce murder. We renounce stuff over our lives and say, look, yeah, I have to cut this off. We also need to renounce soul ties. What is a soul tie? Soul tie is when you are so dependent on somebody or something and you've been sexually involved with them. It's almost like an umbilical cord that is between you and that person, and you just cannot break the soulish dependency on the person or the school or the places you've been to. We can have soul ties with things and with people. You know, so we need to break soul ties. And all we need to do is you go in and you say, Jesus, I cut off every dependency, every umbilical cord between me and this thing, between my previous generations and the words they have spoken and me. And Lord, I release now a blessing. I release honor. I release celebration. And so part of your homework is to maybe go and write a letter to one or two or three of your friends or people. Just start practicing the place of celebration and honoring other people. Just learn to bless other people. Say, hey, I bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, and may he give you peace. And then as the Holy Spirit highlights things over your family, you know, doesn't need to be the extended family, but especially people in your direct line, the fathers, the mothers, you know, maybe it's depression, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's controlling. There's so many things that are passed down to us. And now we say, in this generation, we're going to do it the right way. We are going to fight the battles, and sometimes it's tough, sometimes it takes time, you know, so that we can establish a new culture, a new blessing that will flow down to even the 10th generation. Isn't it amazing? To the 10th generation. You know, because what God intended for good, hey, the devil, the same principle works in evil. He wants us to be cursed. He wants us not, you know, to be blessed. Sometimes it also means your finances, you know, where there's just poverty and failure in financial stuff. Sometimes a spirit of death. Sometimes a spirit of infirmity or sickness. And especially we need to learn how God wants to deliver us from these things. He wants to set us apart and create a new generation that will restore, will be blessed, and will be walking in the fullness of God. So I want to end off by praying this scripture in Numbers to you, the priestly blessing. And I want you to learn, maybe just take your hands, if you're listening to this on your own, close your eyes, open up your hands, and picture to receive this blessing from the Lord. And I'm going to do it in the Amplified as it says, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, guard you, protect you, and compass and build a hedge of safety around you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. He will give you full attention in a favorable way upon you. And the Lord will give you, may give you peace. That peace is wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, an absence of negative stress, of disturbance, tension, and conflict over your life. May the Lord keep you and make his face shine upon you. Lord, right now we come to break every generational curse. We come to release your blessing and ask for your fulfillment in our lives, that you will restore what the devil came to steal. Thank you, Father, that you reveal also patterns and things and soul ties that we can break with, renounce, repent of, and walk away. Lord, we want to establish a new generation that in us, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen.